Amen. I mentioned earlier, it's my mother-in-law's birthday today. And she's, well, Hunts and Alan reckon she's 87. We're not sure whether you're 87 or 88. So it must be 88th year. She's just entering her 88th year. It's a long time. Anyway, bless you. It's awesome that you're able to be here. And later on, we're going to sing happy birthday. We've got a cake and have a bit of a celebration. But let's read first John chapter 4, just from verses 1 to 6 this morning. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Now, John's really dealing with some nitty-gritty stuff at this point. And what's he saying here? He starts off, dear friends, as he always does, as he often does. And he's speaking to the church, to the churches that this letter went out to. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Everything, what John's saying here is everything that sounds good or looks good may not be God. It may not be good. Everything that presents itself as spiritual may not be the Spirit of God. It may be a contrary spirit. That's what John's saying. So he's saying, don't be gullible. Don't be gullible, guys. Don't be sucked in by every latest thing that comes along, or even by every apparent need. We need to use discernment. We need to think about what we're doing. Matthew 10, verse 16, Jesus said it this way. He said, be as shrewd as serpents and as innocent as doves. Isn't it amazing that Jesus said that, that we should be like a serpent? I mean, the serpent normally represents the devil. But in this case, Jesus is saying there's a characteristic about the serpent, the snake, and that he's wise and he's watching and he's careful what he does. And that's what we need to be like. Not like the devil, of course, but we just need to have that little characteristic of being careful what we do. Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul, he speaks about the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. And after talking about the armor of God, this is what the Apostle Paul says in verse 18. The second part of this verse, he says, be alert. He's speaking to Christians. He's speaking to people in the church. And always keep on praying for all the saints. Now just keep watch. So we have the Apostle John in this section in chapter 4. We have the Apostle Paul in Ephesians and other places as well. And Jesus all saying, just be alert. Be careful. Keep watch. Be discerning. Especially with regard to spiritual things. Test them just to be sure that they're genuine. Because things are not always as they seem on the surface, are they? And it's just good for us to just stop occasionally and think about this. Over the last few weeks, and especially last week, we've been learning about the fruits of the Spirit. And as Sasha explained, fruit grows slowly, especially if from a mandarin tree or fruit tree. You know, it doesn't. You don't just get fruit the first day you plant it. And what were those posters that we had up last week? Throw kindness around like confetti. What was the other one? Can someone help me? Joy is not in things; it's in us. It's about the fruits of the Spirit. And the fruits of the Spirit, just as a quick reminder, those little posters that you ladies got last week. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And of course, Sasha broke them down into three categories and explained them. But they all take time to grow in our lives, just like the fruit on a mandarin tree or a fruit tree. But discernment also comes from the Holy Spirit. What John is speaking about here today is a gift that comes from the Holy Spirit. And just like any gift, it's available for us to use straight away. You see, we need to understand that the gifts of the Spirit, they come from the same source, but there's a difference between them. The gifts are available for us to open and start using straight away, but the fruit tends to take time to grow, and it needs a season to ripen and before we really have those fruits of the Spirit. But the gifts are different. With use, they will get stronger in our lives, but they're available straight away. And it's actually quite awesome to think that God's given us all gifts, different gifts. We're going to talk about some of these briefly this morning. Actually, there are over 20 different gifts mentioned in the Bible that the Holy Spirit gives us. And I'll just quickly read those in alphabetical order. We're not going to have time to talk about them much today. But there's the gift of administration, organization. There's the gift of apostle, which is to start things and initiate things. There's a gift of being a craftsman, which is over and above a natural gift. There's a gift of discernment, we've mentioned, and we'll talk about that a bit later. There's a gift of encouragement, the gift of an evangelist, where you just really want to tell people about Jesus. The gift of faith, the gift of giving, the gift of healing, the gift of helping, the gift of hospitality. Even what we were doing last week, it's the gift of God, it's just the hospitality in this church. It's not a natural thing, it's a spiritual thing. When we actually get out there and love people and serve them and make them feel welcome here. The gift of intercession, really praying through things. The gift of knowledge, when you just know something. The gift of leadership, the gift of mercy, the gift of prophecy. The gift of being a shepherd or a pastor or a teacher. The gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. And the gift of wisdom. That's just a quick overview of the gifts that are mentioned in the Bible that the Holy Spirit gives us. Some of these we're born with. Most of them God gives us when we come to faith. We are born with some of these things. But and people in the world have gifts as well, don't they? But the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they're enhanced and they are, many of them are birthed in us when we give our life to Jesus and we have the Holy Spirit in us. And we don't get all the gifts necessarily. We don't all have the same ones. And children can also receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit when they come to faith in Jesus. And it's amazing sometimes what God will do through children. And we need to realize it's not a maturity thing. It's not something that you have to wait until you're old to participate in an experience. You could be a new Christian, and the Holy Spirit will come. You'll have gifts that are available for you to use, and it's awesome. But we may not have the maturity always to handle the gifts, but that's where the family comes in. But I was thinking, if I was giving out gifts, I would probably, if I was going to give you guys all a gift this morning, I'd probably have a little box here with lots of little things in, and I would sort of go quietly down the rows, and I'd give out my gifts, but I'd probably just say one each, okay? And it's probably not going to be that expensive, might be quite small, and maybe a chocolate bar or something. Here's a gift, and here's another one, but only one, all right? Just... And probably most of us would be like that. Except Shaney's out in creche, so I can mention her. She'd probably have a big box and be giving out lots. And there's one or two others that are givers here that would probably... But, you know, when the Holy Spirit gives out gifts, it's like he would be here. Just I want you to imagine that the Holy Spirit is here. And he is here. He's here every week. And he's in us. But he's got a huge, big box. Probably too big for any of us to carry, but he's bigger and stronger than us. It's a great big box. And when he's giving out gifts, he doesn't just give little ones, he's giving big ones. He's giving awesome ones. He doesn't just give one. Not just, he might give Kath this one and that one and the other one. Give John another three or four or five. And Peter. Roger, you can even have a gift, mate. And two or three or four. Roger, there's a gift of intercession for you and wisdom and pastoring and shepherding and loving people, encouraging people. See, there's all the gifts. And we could do this, couldn't we? Nathan, the gift of ability to encourage people and to support people, the gift of music and ability and leadership and wisdom. You know, there's lots of gifts that PJ, the gift of reaching people and loving people and caring for people and bringing the love of Jesus to people, evangelizing and pastoring people, actually, caring for them. You know, God, by the Holy Spirit, gives us gifts. But not just one or two. He gives us heaps of gifts. And he's a lot more generous than me. Aren't you pleased? Because God's a generous God. But you see, we don't all have the same gifts. We don't all have all the 20 or 25 gifts, whatever there is, but all of us together in God's house, in his individual churches, we have all the giftings that are needed here to make this place effective, to make this place flow, to have God's work accomplished in us, in our families, and in our community, in our workplaces. And you see, it just, there's a flowing out. It's awesome. And that's another reason why it's actually quite important for us to be in the family. Because what can happen is that the Holy Spirit will give us a gift. But if we're off by ourselves, what it means is that we miss out on the benefit of all the other gifts that God puts around us. And if we're off by ourselves, everyone else misses out on our gift when it's meant to be for the use of the family. Because that's what the gifts are really for. They're for encouraging and strengthening and empowering God's people to do better, and to reach higher and to run further and to accomplish more for our awesome God. And so if we're off by ourselves, everybody misses out, including us and the church and the family and the community and so on. But anyway, that's just a little bit about gifts. They are pretty cool to have operating in our lives. And I want to tell you guys, there's a lot of gifts operating in this room right now. And every single one of us have lots of gifts. And we need to be using them, we need to be recognizing them, and we need to be practicing and strengthening each other by the use of our various giftings. If we go back to John chapter 4, verse 1, we're going to look a little bit more closely at this one specific gift today of discernment, where John says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God." See, this is just a little bit of a window on one of these awesome gifts, these big gifts. This is what discernment can do for us. If we've got the gift of discernment, what John's saying here, we need to use it. We've got it for a reason, haven't we? You know, if I've got the gift of discernment, and John's got it, and Gaynor's got it, and Basil's got it, as a church family, we need to use those gifts. Kieran's got it. We need to practice those gifts. We need to be using them so that it keeps things safe. Marie's got it. There's lots of people who've got that gift in this church. And this is the reason Because in the second part of that verse, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. If you think about false prophets for a minute, we could sit here today and we could say, well, false prophets would be obvious. You think they'd be mean, and you'd think they'd be evil. You'd think they'd be, you know, saying things that are so contrary to what we believe. We just look at them and say, unless you've got the gift of discernment, you might not be able to tell. And that, because this is what Jesus said. He warned us that actually they won't be obvious. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, Jesus said, "Watch out for false prophets, because they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves." You see, outwardly, false prophets, or people that are actually, or it's really a spirit that comes and is trying to cause damage to the family, will try to appear as just being part of the family. It'll try to appear like a sheep so it can hide in amongst the sheep and not be recognized. That's what Jesus said. Something that would try to appear harmless. Wolves camouflaged as sheep for one reason. What's the reason? Yeah, so when they're in the amongst the flock, they can kill and they can destroy and they can eat and they can do a lot of damage in the flock. And that's what Jesus warned us about. Watch out for things that might appear harmless, because they're not always harmless. Nasty stuff. Surely, after all these years, you know, it's a couple of thousand years now since the church has been going for a long time. Surely we've got a bit more wisdom and experience and knowledge and understanding. Surely, after all this time, wolves and false prophets would be something that we'd be aware of, that would be lessening, that we wouldn't need to worry about anymore. Matthew chapter 24, verse 11, when Jesus is speaking about the last days, about the time, you know, after time has gone on for a long time. This is what he says. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. What Jesus is saying here is that, hey, it was going to be bad at the beginning, but it's going to get worse as time goes on. And so we need to be extra vigilant. It looks like this sort of thing's going to increase. Mark 13, verse 22. Jesus also said this, "For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform signs and miracles to deceive the elect, if that were possible." Jesus is warning us that we're even going to have these false prophets coming and even performing amazing miracles, healings and miracles and signs and wonders, and we'll, wow, surely this must be God. Verse 23, "So be on your guard." That's what Jesus says. "I have told you ahead of time." Jesus has warned us. He's told us before we get there. Jesus has warned us in John's words. It actually makes John's words here in chapter 4 just as important now, or probably more so than they've ever been, if you think about it. So let's use the gift of discernment. Let's test the spirits. Let's check things out. And if we go to the next couple of verses in chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, John gives us some guidelines of how to test the spirits. "This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God." And just so that we really get it, he adds this in verse 3, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. So he gives us the one side. Every spirit that acknowledges Jesus and that he really did come as a man, he really was God in human body, that you can tell that that's a person who's actually got a good spirit. And if there's the opposite, every spirit that does not acknowledge that Jesus is from God, or that Jesus came in the flesh. Back then, the big confusion back then that was happening in the church was that, you know, they believed that Jesus was God because they'd only not long seen and heard and experienced all that he did, but they couldn't really get their head around the fact that he was also a man. And so they thought, oh, he was God, but then after, you know, after the crucifixion, the spirit left and he was just a man again. And they couldn't believe that he was both at the same time. And this is what, but these days it's more the other way around. We believe, well, Jesus was a man, he was a good man, but was he really God? But he was both. The Bible's really clear that he was both. That Jesus came in the flesh, he came as a human, but he was God in human form. And it's important that we understand that and we get that. Different religions don't believe that. Different cults and different sects. And if you went to the Jehovah's Witness church, they believe in Jesus, but they do not believe in Jesus the same way as we do. Muslims believe in Jesus, but they don't believe in Jesus the same way as we do. Mormon church, not quite sure what they believe, but I think it's different. We need to be discerning. Because it's different. And people see a Jehovah's Witness coming down the road. They see a Christian coming down the road. They see a Muslim coming down the road. And they think we're all the same. But we're not. There's a different spirit. You see, we need to understand what the key is. The key is Jesus. And our understanding around Jesus and who he is. Someone may say all the right things. They may be a nice person. They might be a religious person. They might be doing good and even performing miracles and healings. That's what Jesus said. They might even be doing amazing things. But who are they really giving the glory to? Who are they talking about? Who are they drawing attention to when they do? Is it to themselves? To their religious organization? Or is it to Jesus? And I think we need to stop. We need to think, and we need to watch, and we need to discern. And sometimes we might need to talk to others who've got that gift of discernment if we haven't. And we also need to be sure that the Jesus they're talking about is the same Jesus that we read about in the Bible. Because there's a bit of a teaching around, you know, just rediscovering the real Jesus. And people get all sorts of ideas about who Jesus might be like and who he is. But if it's contrary to the Word of God, it's not true. There's a wrong spirit operating. So we need to be sure that what we're discerning as truth lines up with the Bible, with Jesus and who he is. And if there's anything contrary, it should be like an alarm going off to us or a siren. You know, when the siren goes off downtown, we probably all over town, we hear it. We know that Isaac's going to be running down there in a minute and getting on that fire truck, and there's something going on. There's a disaster, there's a fire, there's a mishap, there's someone needs help somewhere. You know, there's an alert goes off. And when we hear things that are contrary about Jesus, there should be like an alarm go off, an alert go off. Hey, there's something wrong here. There's something not right here. There's something that we shouldn't be supporting this or encouraging that or whatever. We just need to be discerning, don't we? And we need to be aware of the alarms that are going off. But we also need to realize that everything that the Holy Spirit does will point to Jesus. Everything that the Holy Spirit does will point to Jesus. And all of the gifts are for Jesus' family, for the church, for the bride. And everything, every fruit of the Spirit will actually make us, as it grows and matures, it will make us more like who? Jesus. He was loving. He was kind. He was gentle. He had joy. And all of those fruits. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit is not here to draw attention to himself. He's here to point us to Jesus, the one and only way to the Father. You know, the life that we're looking for, eternal life, it's in Jesus. And that's what the Holy Spirit will do. The Holy Spirit will convict us of our sin, which is drawing us away from Jesus and away from God and away from true life. So that's what the Holy Spirit does. If you're in a situation and you hear these alarm bells, you know, you just, something's not right. What I think you'll find is that you'll have an uneasiness in your spirit. Have you ever sensed that? Something's not quite right. You can't put your finger on it. You can't get your head around it necessarily. Sometimes we call it a gut feeling, don't we? Something's not, doesn't quite add up here. Something's not right. Or we get a knowing inside. I just want to encourage you guys, when you sense those things, when you get that little unsettling in your spirit, when you get a knowing in your gut, it's not a very good word, but it's really deep in here, isn't it? It's something inside us. It's in our spirit. If we get that unsettledness in there, we'll just realize that it's probably the Holy Spirit unsettling us. It's probably God warning us. It's probably that gift in us stirring, hey, just be careful here. Something doesn't add up. Something's not quite right. And especially when you know what you know and you just don't know why. But just we need to listen to those inner warnings. I don't know about you, but sometimes as you go through life, and I've found this, sometimes you'll be just, you just be going through and you'll be chatting to this one and that one and going about your minding your own business and just doing what you think is right. And for some reason, you'll be talking to someone or you'll be dealing with someone or in life someone will and there'll be a confrontation there for no reason. You know what I'm talking about? For some reason, someone won't like you. Have you ever experienced that? And there doesn't seem to be any natural reason for it. Someone will give you a hard time. Do you know what I'm talking about here? For no real reason, someone will just be niggling at us and making life miserable if they can. You know, and sometimes there could be a natural reason that we're not aware of, but if we're Christians and we haven't done anything that we can possibly think of to upset them or offend them, it's quite likely that it's because they're carrying a different spirit. And this is real. Now, I've been up against this a couple of times even the last few weeks. Where I just, why on earth was, what's that guy grumpy at me for? I haven't done anything. Then I sit down and I think about it and I realize, hey, it's actually not about me at all. It's a spiritual thing that's going on. And there's a reaction to the spirit that's in me, not because I've hurt them or done anything. And don't go looking for this sort of thing, but if it happens, just be aware that it's a spirit. There's a spiritual realm that we live in. And John called it the Antichrist spirit. It's a different spirit. I just want to say to you guys, don't be intimidated when you're up against that sort of thing. Hold your ground. Don't get nasty and retaliate, but don't back off either. Because, you know, what the demons in the spiritual realm wants to do to us is to intimidate us and to make us fearful and make us unsure and make us, back off and just sort of, come submit to that spirit. God doesn't want us to submit to the devil. God doesn't want us to back off and come under manipulation and control and wrong spirits. He actually wants us to know that, actually this is the next part in here, verse 4, where John says, you dear children, which is what we need to realize, you are from God and you have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Isn't that cool? Isn't that amazing? We have Jesus in us. We have the Holy Spirit in us. And it's greater than anything that the devil can throw at us or any spirit can bring against us or any nasty person that's carrying this stuff will try and do to us. And so don't be intimidated because we need to remember that Jesus and the Holy Spirit are in us. And that gives us authority that we don't even really begin to understand, I don't think. And that authority comes out when we pray, when we love and when they hate us. You know, we can take the upper hand and be the bigger person. And we can care for them and love them in spite of their nastiness because we know who's in us. We know who's won the victory. The devil knows. The devil knows he was defeated at the cross. But sometimes we forget, don't we? I just want to encourage you guys to hold your head up and walk forward boldly for God this week. Remember, we carry the life of God in us. The Holy Spirit and Jesus is in us. And we can just walk confidently, not calmly, and peacefully. And we can face stuff and we can deal with stuff and just make a difference without really doing much sometimes. To see that, no wonder we run into a bit of tension sometimes. Hey. Just a couple of little final thoughts. If you run into something that's a problem or a situation where you just know there's a nastiness, there's a niggliness, there's a spirit at work here, just talk to God about it. Just pray. And when we pray, use that awesome, awesome name of Jesus, because that's where the authority is. That's why John was so concerned about these guys back there and getting this right, and so concerned about the church always having Jesus at the center, because that's where the authority is. That's where our power is. That's where our life is. That's where our eternity is. Jesus is the one. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the power. He's got the authority. He's sitting right now at the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding for us. We're his kids. He loves us. He wants us to win. He doesn't want us to be knocked down and kicked around any longer. So we need to pray using his name. So in finishing, let's keep Jesus at the center. Bless you guys. How about if we stand and just worship him and